Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 372. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
Ant, what's going on, sir?
All right, well, everything's back to normal, you know?
I'm in
my square, you're in your square. We're in completely different locations.
And in the center square, Joan Rivers.
Right? No, it was Paul Lynde.
Well, all right, that's before us.
We're going. No, you got to go back. Right. You got to go back to Paul Lynde.
But our time was Joan Rivers.
Our time was Joan Rivers, and then I want to say
Whoopi. I think.
Yeah, Whoopi. Whoopi was the other one. Yeah. Yes, but Paul Lynde. Got to go back to Paul Lynde.
Where's my stupid Hollywood?
Where's your autographed Hollywood Squares NES?
That bum. I'll say right.
That's
now.
That's the one. That's a game you should toss.
Well, the game's weird to begin with, but this is
Davidson.
Yeah, so I got an autograph of John Davidson, the host of Hollywood Squares. And when I was a child, I wanted to be a game show host growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And John Davidson was like the go-to host for me, at least. Not realizing he had a huge, he had a music career before Hollywood Squares. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as soon as I mentioned game show, it's like he did Hollywood Squares to pay the alimony bills or something like that.
Yeah,
he was forced to do it. And he was so, I think he said to me, I'm not going to quote him, but he said something along the lines of like, oh, you should be able to get some good money on eBay for this.
Wow.
So that's why I keep my sign.
Well, he just, you know, he assumed that that's why you got it signed. And, you know, but you're
buying a John Davidson on eBay. Well,
but that's why, like, that's what you should have said to him. You'd be like, are you kidding me? I just lost $30 or whatever you paid him.
He wasn't that expensive. But it's next my win, loser, draw, which is will never be signed. So
no.
That guy's dead.
Aw.
Peter DeBarkin? No, Peter DeBarkin was a win, loser, draw.
No, Peter DeBarkin was Pressure Luck.
Pressure Luck, excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah. He's also dead.
And so, there was no Pressure Luck game on the NES.
No, it should have been. On the Wii.
On the Wii. You had to wait all the way for the Wii to get a Pressure Luck game, I believe. I don't know if there was one on the PC.
There's got to have been one on
there. Had to be.
I remember there was one on like. There was a web one.
Yeah, there was a web one that I have on a burnt CD-ROM somewhere still.
Maybe that's where I got it from.
Yeah, I have Pressure Luck and a few other game shows on there. I got it from you.
Okay. We got a great episode. As you can tell from the description and when you clicked on the episode from the title, we have an amazing interview today.
Yes.
That we're going to get into in just a little bit.
You're going to be hearing from Stanislav Pustriak.
Yep.
Who is the director for Memory Card, which is a thriller short film that Larry backed on Kickstarter.
So we actually have
him on the show today. We did an interview with him, and you're going to hear about that a little bit later.
So actually what we did was last week after we recorded, when I was with Anthony, with you up there, you showed me to a couple of amazing retro game stores, and we're going to basically just show off kind of some stuff that we picked up, and I have it separated out pretty
good.
Much. All right. So we're going to get right into it. So the first store we went to was Shroomies, correct?
Yes. We went to Shroomies. Love that name.
Yeah. It is a video game store, folks. A video game store.
It is a video game store. Yeah. You know, mushrooms. Mario. It all makes sense.
There we go. Put two and two together.
There you go.
Both stores were amazing. Of course, each one has its own feel and atmosphere to it. But Shroomies, really cool stuff. Had some arcades for sale actually as well, which is pretty
I'm surprised you didn't pick one up.
I was staring at one of them. I was trying to figure out how to fit it into your car to get it into my car.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked.
So I picked up two games. From Shroomies, and one of which I picked up only because the box just looked really, it's in box, looks really good, and it's a game for the Atari, and I'm trying to build up that collection big time, Reactor.
Yeah, that looked really cool because it's a game I don't remember at all.
I definitely never played it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to play it right now.
Nope.
But I will learn to play it because the box itself, I mean, the instruction booklet is almost pristine.
Yeah, that's right, really cool. I mean, that looks great.
And there's the game itself in the box. I don't remember how these boxes look. I love how this presentation.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember the boxes like that. It made it interesting. Yeah. What I love is seeing the logos of of the companies that made games back then. Like, right, like back then Parker Brothers made video
Oh,
games,
yeah.
you know?
Right.
So yeah, that was always cool. It's always cool to see that now. Like how many different game companies or just companies in general got in on the video game craze.
Oh my gosh. Everyone wants a piece of that pie.
That's right. And then it crashed.
And then another game I bought, this I bought strictly because I don't ever remember seeing anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they ever made another game like this. And as we speak, I'm going to try and peel the sticker off the price sticker, because I think this is from Codemasters, actually, which now makes sense to me.
Well, just put your thumb over the price.
No. I couldn't see it. I literally could not see the top. Oh, yeah, Codemasters. All right. Codemaster, they came up with some innovative carts. This is for Genesis, Pete Sampras Tennis. Now, I'm not a big tennis fan, but check this thing out. How ingenious was this?
Oh, yeah, that was really cool.
It's a four-player game, and they figured, hey, look, not everyone's going to have a multi-tap.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just put, controllers right three and four right in the cart.
Yep.
Genius idea. Genius.
Very smart.
So...
Unless like it you move the cartridge to put the controller in and it just messed up the game. It's like, can't play.
I got to imagine, hopefully you plug it in before you put it in the system.
You would think, but you know what? Not everybody thinks that way.
Unless you're one of those players, you ever see players like when they play racing games, they actually move the controller and stuff?
Yes.
Can you imagine like you go to serve?
That was you.
Pull back. No, I wasn't. I never did that.
I remember did I do you. That? Yeah, I remember you. Yes, I do.
Maybe
all
you
the
did
time.
Do that.
Yeah. Wow. Mario Kart, you always did that.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I'll take your word on that one. So very cool. Hopefully, maybe I'll find other ones like this. I don't know, but definitely cool on that.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting stat to look up, though. Like, how many games were made that had the actual controller ports in them?
Yeah, right.
Something to look up.
Go Codemasters. You want to talk about your Shroomies before we move on to the other store?
Yeah. I'll go with my Shroomies because I got two really awesome games. One I've been looking for a long time, but I was actually looking for it on the 360. Mm-hmm. But one I was looking for a really long time. And then the other one I used to have in my collection when I was younger, got rid of it at some point. And then when I saw it sitting there, I was like, I need to get it. So the first one I grabbed was Family Game Night 3 for the Nintendo Wii.
Oh, great. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Now, I bought this specifically, obviously not to play Twister, but I bought this specifically because it has Clue on it. And I'm a Clue fanatic.
Yes, you are.
So... let me tell you something. I was trying to find this for the 360 for the longest time. Could not find it anywhere. Could not find it. And when I did find it, it was a little more pricey than I wanted to pay for it. So I was really happy to get this because I can throw this on my Wii U. And then once my HDMI port's fixed, I can play it. and this is really cool. On Shroomie's receipts, when you get that, because you know how I keep my receipts. They have their logo.
I saw that. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Very cool.
So Family Game Night 3 I got for the Wii, and I'm looking forward to playing Clue on it to see how it plays. Wait, so I got Family Game Night, and then the other one that I got was on the Sega Genesis, and this made me happy, and I played a little bit of it when I got home too, which is Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego.
Yes.
Now I had this game for the Genesis, and I had it with the encyclopedia because every copy of this game came with an encyclopedia.
Yep.
There was no encyclopedia included this time, but I do have the detective's manual, which again looks brand new.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That looks really good. I didn't see that.
Actually,
oh, right.
Looks like it did take a little water damage, actually.
Ah, that's okay. Some love.
There's little crinkles in it, but you know, it's got at least it's got the book. Oh, look at that. It's like a detailed sketch.
Oh my gosh.
Of your
schematic.
Yeah, a schematic of your screen. So, but anyway, really, really cool. Played a couple of rounds with it. It was actually kind of funny to play because, you do need to have some type of knowledge of like history in order to play Where in Time, because it gives you little hints on where to go next.
Well, knowledge of history as of when 1991
as
when that
of
came out
1992. Yeah.
If you're chasing carbon to East, to East Germany, some people might not realize what that might be.
Like, wait a minute, it's telling me I'm stuck at a wall. But that's what I picked up at Shroomies.
Very cool. Very cool. Yep. All right. So, yeah, so that was Shroomies. And then we ended up, what was the other one called again? Forgive me.
The other one was called Pastime Legends video game.
Pastime Legends, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, there, I made out like a bandit on that.
Oh, yeah.
You made out like a bandit.
You went nuts there.
Not as much, only because I kept finding something that was interesting. So, yeah. I bought 5 games I got from there. And I got first, I got, and I ended up, I wanted it on NES, but when I looked it up on Game Boy, I forgot how good it is. Gremlins 2 on
Very
Game
nice.
Boy. Side scroller, actually, on Game Boy. But I might be going to Game On this weekend, so I might be picking up Gremlins 2 on NES. That game, I loved it on NES.
Yeah, I remember you like raving over that
Oh
one.
my God, I loved it.
Yeah.
Trying to expand my 7800 collection. I only got two games so far for the 7800, but now I got a third one,
All right.
Xevious.
Very nice. And
Rachel.
that's for your
2600
Atari
plus.
2600 plus.
Yeah,
Yep.
because it will play 78.
Yep. Not for your via what is it? VCS?
VCS. It will play, but I don't think
The
Z.
long forgotten VCS that you're
How
gonna throw
dare
out.
you? I still use you. Don't worry. You're good. You're good.
Atari's version of Virtual Boy.
shush.
Well, actually, no, I think the Jaguar would be. They didn't really do well with that.
The Jaguar. Jaguar
Jaguar.
CD.
Jaguar.
Jaguar. Then I picked here, I'll show this one next then. I've been trying to find a shoot 'em up for the Saturn, let alone a really good game for the Saturn. I mean, I got a good collection of Saturn games, don't get me
You do.
wrong, but trying to find Saturn games is tough. Like good ones that isn't a sports game, because I'm not really into that. But I found a vertical shooter, Galactic Attack, and I love that name.
Very nice.
Galactic Attack, and it plays amazing, though I might need to contact Jack to inquire about HDMIs for the Saturn.
Oh yeah.
Because right
You
now I have it through composite.
Oh, and that's unacceptable, is it?
I mean, no, it's acceptable, but it just might be easier. I don't know. I gotta say, I gotta look into it. But
All
it
right.
plays, and I played it, and it's freaking awesome.
Nice.
Oh, and by the way, folks, just to let you know, all these games that I purchased at Anthony's, because Anthony has the Polymega, I graced him. I allowed him to steal, to rip my games to his system. So he might show you just a couple games that he bought, but he made out like a bandit because he
I
ended up with
did.
all of this stuff except for the
Yes.
Atari and Game Boy games.
But in Anthony's defense, right? With these stores being over 3 hours away from where Larry lives, it was the perfect opportunity for him to test them to make sure that they work. And the way that we did that was putting it on my system.
Little did I know is as soon as you put the game in the system, it starts ripping it.
That is correct.
And then the last, well, these you cannot get, haha, because these
That's
are
right.
unofficial
I
games.
could not get the Atari games, first off.
Well, no, not yet. There's supposed to be an adapter coming out soon, or
Yes.
a module, excuse me. So I found these two games actually. Forgive me, what was the name of the place again?
This was Pastime
Thank you.
Legends.
Pastime Legends actually had like almost, it feels like the whole collection of these games from American Video Entertainment. One of these unlicensed companies, which there were a few for the NES, they found out a way to get past the chip, that lockout chip. And again, they had maybe like six or seven different titles, but these two games, one's basically like a shoot 'em up, the other one's like a shoot 'em up, but more like kind of like Space Harrier, where usually I wasn't fans of those in the past, but I'm starting to come around on those. There's a cotton game that's like that as well. So, and you're gonna look at the carts and you'll tell it's unlicensed because the way the cart is. First one here is called Double Strike,
Yes.
which is again flying
It looks
a shoot 'em
great.
up. It plays awesome. And this one, F-15 City War.
Nice.
F-15 City War.
Yeah, those I did not test.
And no, I did test them and they don't work in your Polymega.
No, they do not.
But they sure do work in the analog.
Oh, that's good.
So that worked out well.
Nice.
And what's great was they even had Double Strike in box. Yeah, which I was debating, but I changed my mind. I'm like, I'll just get the card. So yeah, so then and that's pretty, yeah, one, two, three, four, five games I got there
Very
in
nice.
playtime. So
Very nice. All right. So then for me, for Pastime Legends, I got what, two games from you.
honestly.
Right. And then I picked up a couple of games. One of them I picked up purely as a joke. Because
Raw.
there was an episode a few months ago. Where we talked about exclusive Xbox, not exclusive Xbox, exclusive games for Blockbuster. And we went through the list of them. And I don't remember all of the ones that I actually used to rent from Blockbuster. Like, I think I only rented like maybe one or two exclusives
Like
because,
Clay Fighter was like the one.
yeah, like Clay Fighter was the one like everybody
Yeah.
rented, right? And that was like the rare one of the rarest games you could find.
No.
But they had a bunch of other ones. So when I saw this game, I just had to get it for the fact that it was a Blockbuster exclusive. So I picked up for Xbox, Outlaw Golf, Nine Holes of Christmas.
Awesome.
So it was just a no-brainer type of thing for fun. On the back it says a hole in one.
I didn't read that. Okay.
And it also says stuff an outlaw in your stocking.
Hey now.
So just a silly golf game for the Xbox that was originally only part of Blockbuster offering. So
awesome.
Thought that was really cool.
Very cool, yes.
And then the second one I got actually has a little bit of a story, because when I went, I think this was only like my third time at Pastime Legends. I haven't gone very often. So last time I went there, I was with Jack, and we went through all of like their Game Gear games. And then we asked them about TurboGrafx.
I didn't even see those there.
The Game Gear games were actually behind the counter in a bin. So when we asked them if they had any, they actually pulled the bin out and we went through them all.
Son
and
of
we
a bought gun. A bunch. Okay.
Yeah. So and then I asked them about their TurboGrafx stuff, and they said, oh, we don't have any TurboGrafx stuff here because nobody ever buys it. So it's in our where, you know, they have a storage unit or something. And then I had asked them for a specific game for the 360 that I was looking for. And they said, oh, we have that in storage too. They said, give me your number. When we pull it, we'll pull it for you and let you know. They never called me.
Happens.
So I just assumed they didn't pull it. Mm-hmm. But then when we were at the store that day, lo and behold, the game that I asked for was out on the shelf for sale. So I picked it right up. And the game I am talking about is Seen It, the movie trivia game, which Great I absolutely game. Loved.
Fantastic.
Great game. There were three of them, at least three, on the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And the coolest thing about this was it was a great couch party game.
Oh my God, was it?
Because you can play with four players, because it came with four controllers.
Yes. The four big controllers. Button controllers. Yeah.
The big button controllers. So you can buzz in and put your answer in. And this was probably one of the last co-op games that I remember playing for newer systems, like really like sitting down with a bunch of people and playing. And then also it came with the sensor so that you can play it. So I was so happy to see it there. I have not tested it yet, so fingers crossed everything works. But just the fact that they had them with the buttons. Now I need to find Box Office Smash and the other one that I
one of them
of.
One or two of them were
online
download
right?
only, which you got to get to because that's shutting down soon.
Oh, when is it shutting down?
I don't remember. You got a couple months, I think.
Okay, well, now that I have the actual controllers, I will happily purchase those on 360.
Now, were you the one at the party who absolutely dominated every game?
Always.
Me too. To the point where, like, I almost felt bad playing.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no.
But
in my defense,
the games were not all, like, obvious answers. You know what I mean? Like, there were things where it was a pixelated image and it had to come in. And things like,
put it in order and stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't just, like, straight-up trivia
where
I dominate. Like, it was just, it had some fun categories and ways to play it.
No, it was fun to play, but I still, I rocked.
Oh, so did I. In fact, I think there's a retro showdown in the future, I think, with the two of us. We're going to have to throw down.
Me, you, and my cousin's husband, because he's also, he wasn't around with us when we played, but he knows a lot of like movie trivia. And I think the three of us would be an epic showdown.
That would be great. So we're going to do that one day in the future.
Yes.
Whether it's by you, by me, whatever it is, we'll get it
back. So, Jim, if you're listening, I'm going to recruit you.
Yeah. So that was everything I bought.
Awesome.
So not a ton, but still.
No, but a good haul.
Well, actually, you know, like three of the four games were actually things I was actively looking for. The other one was just a straight up joke.
And you stole most of mine. So.
And I stole most of yours. So win-win.
So there you go.
Win-win.
Oh, and there is actually one more thing I got. And it wasn't from the store. And it wasn't from anywhere else. But a good friend of mine gave me something here that I haven't had in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, folks.
Somehow,
and I still don't know why, Anthony, you had multiple N64s.
I had two N64s. Somebody else gave me one. And then this was like years ago, I had promised you the other one.
Which I still didn't remember, but good
for you. Which I never got around to giving to you. My only question after I gave it to you was, is that my original one or the one my friend gave me? Because
could this be your original? I don't think so.
There's no way to know.
Here's why. Did you end up upgrading the jumper pack in the middle of the system? Remember at some point you had to upgrade? Okay.
Yes.
I am pretty sure this, it's been forever since I saw it. I think that's the original jumper pack. I don't think, because you know what? It is the original, because the other one had a red, like a red.
It was red.
On it. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So I do have to
Well, I'm going to double check the N64 here, because I do remember updating it.
I think everyone had at some point.
Yeah, at some point you had to. Yeah. So
So thank you very much for this.
You're welcome. Enjoy it.
You did not give me an HDMI cable, you bum. So I have to find one.
Nope. That's all on you. But I gave you a console. What else could you possibly want?
Listen, you've given me two consoles now in my life, and I think I've given you one. So you're winning.
You have?
The Master System.
Oh, that's right. You gave me the Master System. That is correct.
You gave me this and the EverDrive. And
the Evercade. Yes. So, I win.
And I think I will be looking to, I think I'm going to pick up an HDMI wire over the weekend.
Okay.
Which now also means I have completely, this now is one more. This is now like the 17th input of my 16 input HDMI switch.
Yep.
So I have to make a Sophie's Choice.
Yeah. Well, I have to buy a new HDMI switch because mine's not working the way that it used to. So.
Well, we got 15 other systems. Go for it. Let's get right into game of the week.
Game of the week.
So, Anthony's pick, a doozy of a pick, and a fun pick.
Yes. So my pick was Bishibashi Special for the PlayStation 1. I picked it because Larry was talking on the solo episode a couple of weeks ago about how much he loved this game, Bishibashi, that he played at Game On.
I did at the arcade over there.
Yeah, at the arcade. Completely forgot that I had told him about Bishibashi just a few months ago because I found out it was released on PlayStation. So I went on eBay and literally picked it up while we were recording that episode.
In one ear and out the other. It's like, you know, when Kelly Bundy was studying for the game show, she can only hold so much input. Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention that I mentioned Bishibashi years ago when I played it in Barcade in LA. So I mentioned it several times. Larry chooses not to remember those things. It's fine. So anyway, and since he was here last weekend, I decided that Bishibashi would be the perfect game for Game of the Week because we could play against each other. Because the whole point of because the whole point of Bishibashi is it's a bunch of mini games that you play against each other,
like WarioWare, if you will.
Yeah, like WarioWare. So Larry, Jack, and I. Because Jack was here as well. The three of us played Bishibashi Special, and you'll see that this Thursday for our Game of the Week on YouTube.
Yes.
Make sure you check that out.
Multiplayer Game of the Week.
Yes. Our first three-player game, for sure. So Larry, as the person who did not play this before, this was your first time at it. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I loved it. And again, you know, it played just like the arcade. The only difference is the arcade had some English to it, so it was a little easier to figure out how some of the games worked, but it was still I think maybe one of the games we couldn't really figure out how to properly play, but for the most part everything else worked out great. And it's just fun. I love those type of games. I love those multiplayer chaotic party games. And kind of to your point when you said that Seen It was like the last party multiplayer local game that you played. Mm-hmm. This was probably the first time I played a multiplayer game like this with you and Jack in a long time with anyone. Mm-hmm. The last time was probably a year ago or so, whenever the Turtles collection came out. Remember the Konami Cowabunga collection?
Yeah.
And I played it with my cousin, my godson, and his brother. So we played that. And then before that, I can't remember the last time I did any sort of couch co-op. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun to do that. And again, the games are just so quirky and ridiculous that it was just fun to play.
Yeah.
And I had a blast. There's really not much else to it because there's no story. It's just the gameplay. And the gameplay is exactly what I expected. Mm-hmm. To the point where I'm dying to go back to the arcade and at the Lake Grove Mall or the Smith Haven Mall in Lake Grove and play the actual Bishibashi game itself. So I had a blast with it. There's really not much else to say other than if I do ever get a PlayStation that plays Japanese games, I am absolutely purchasing one, if not maybe all, of the Bishibashi games for the PlayStation.
I definitely want to pick up more of them for sure, because as soon as I found out that they were available on PlayStation, because I did not know that, I ran right to eBay and picked one up. But my experience with this game goes back several years, because I played it when Barcade opened in Los Angeles. I don't
yeah,
remember
5 years
what,
ago.
Yeah, I don't remember what year it was.
No, I think it's 5 years ago,
was
because I
it
think they
2019?
just celebrated their fifth anniversary there, I think.
Nice. So yeah, around 2019, went to Barcade, and there was Bishibashi, and my friend Russell and I had an absolute blast playing it. It was super, super fun.
Awesome.
And then playing the one on the PlayStation, it just brought me back to that.
Okay.
Absolutely loved it. The mini games are fun. They're different. It's so fun listening to the guy scream, like he's screaming in Japanese, so we have no idea what he's saying, but he's
Yeah.
basically saying what the title of each game is. And it's just fun to hear that,
Oh,
because
totally.
it's just out of nowhere. It's like it scrolls across the screen in Japanese. He's screaming it at you. It's just this big, energetic, fun game.
You know, and some people might think, oh, that's not how Japanese game shows are exactly like that. There's a lot of
Yes.
screaming, a lot of chaos, and no one knows what's going on sometimes. So
Exactly.
it really fit right in. So it was cool. I loved it.
Yeah,
So
it did fit right in. And to your point, there's really not a lot to say about it, because it's a quick game.
exactly.
It's not the type of game you're going to play for, 50 hours or something like that. But it's a fun game to play with a bunch of people over. You all just sign up. I think because you can play with up to 8 people for these
Yes.
games, it
Yes.
randomly selects two
Eh, not that
people to play.
random.
Well, it's supposed to
You'll see.
random. Yeah, you'll see. It's supposed to randomly select 2 people to play against each other, and then you just keep going until somebody wins. So super fun. It's definitely a game I would recommend if you play multiplayer games like that. Definitely worth going back and visiting, because I'm like you, I'm going to pick up more of them. And I actually, my PlayStation 1, I think I still have the disc that allows me to play
Really, for your
Japanese
original.
games
Wow.
for my OG. Yeah, because I still have Fire Pro Wrestling G. And I still have Busta Groove 2. They were both Japanese
They
games,
were, yeah.
so I did need something to play those games. So I still have that, so I can play Bishibashi Special on my PS1 as well, but it's in my Polymega.
Whole lot easier.
Yeah, definitely much, much easier.
So,
So, excellent game.
very cool.
And with that, Larry, it is your turn to pick this week's game of the week. And what are we going for this
Oh,
time?
I am going way back. This might be the oldest one that we've played so far. And the
Uh-oh.
reason why I'm picking is because, again, just quick, fun, but picking up the Atari game Reactor and been playing some of it as well. My buddy, Mario, been on the show before, actually picked up the Atari Game Station. Oh my God, the thing's
Nice.
amazing! It's fantastic. We'll talk about that next time. But
Okay.
I'm going Atari 2600.
All right.
And
Which
I
one?
am going with my personal favorite Atari 2600 game of all time. And
Missile
no,
Command.
I will end the podcast right now. I was going to say it's not Pac-Man, and it is definitely not Missile Command.
It's Burger Time.
Which other ones you want to mention, huh? Come on. Let's
I
go.
don't know. That's it.
Really,
Let's leave
that's
it
really
there.
about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And TNC Surf Design, but that wasn't on there. Keystone Capers.
Ooh, nice choice.
Oh my God, I
Nice choice.
love this game.
Okay.
So definitely we're gonna play some Keystone Capers.
Yes.
Hopefully you have it. If you have an original cart, go for it. If there's other means the way for you to play them, go right ahead.
Yep.
But again, sometimes we're gonna pick a game not everyone might be able to have, like
Yeah.
Bishibashi.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, if you have it, play it this week.
I gotta
Absolutely.
dig out my Atari 2600, I think.
Yeah, man. Or get a 2600 plus.
I might. Maybe
It's
not.
actually
We'll
not
see.
bad, in all honesty.
Actually, I should talk to my mom. I gave her the gold Atari
Oh,
2600. I don't know. I don't
yes.
know if it, I don't know if that game's on
It
there
might
though.
not, because this is Activision, actually.
Yeah, then that's
So,
probably not on there.
oh, it might be. I wonder if it's on the Activision collections that are out there. Remember the
Oh,
ones that, like, on PlayStation and all
could
them?
be, could
I don't
be.
know. Well,
Well,
nevertheless.
I'll fish it out somewhere.
Awesome.
So.
And without any further ado, here is our interview. And we had a great time doing it.
Yes, we did.
It's a blast, and we can't wait to do more down the future. But the co-director and producer of Memory Card a thriller short that was recently backed on Kickstarter by yours truly, Stanislav Huzdriak. Here's our interview. Folks, we have an amazing segment here right now. We actually have an interview that I know we've been looking forward to. I've been looking forward to doing for a while. And this is going to be a very interesting interview because it's going to be coming from two different spots, filmmaking and gaming.
Yes, I'm actually, this is a really exciting and probably first time for us too.
And as you can see in the third box, we do have Stan Puzdriak. Hopefully.
It was good.
Ah, thank goodness. And he is the one of the directors and producer of an upcoming short that I discovered on Kickstarter, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And we're going to get into it in a little while. Memory Card, a thriller short movie. And Stan, thank you very much for being here on the Retro Gamers Podcast.
Sure, it's an honor for me to be here. First time talking about video games on podcast in English. That sounds interesting.
Oh, we're going to have a blast with this one, definitely. And, you know, before we get into, you know, gaming, before we get into the movie itself, definitely want to, know the man behind this movie. If you can, introduce yourself to our listeners, to our viewers.
Yeah. Sometimes really difficult to describe what kind of stuff I do. Like in general, I make videos, all kind of videos, because we do stuff even starting from weddings. And we do movies and we do a lot of commercials and corporate stuff because I myself, I'm owner of a video production company and we have around 35 people on our team now and we do all kind of videos. But filmmaking was always my passion. I always wanted to focus on films, but I always also had another passion, video games. I think I was thinking about making video games even before I started making videos. It was always my dream, and I think I'm on my way there by just starting making movies about video games, and hopefully then I will be able to be involved in game development. Yeah, so I started making videos, I think when I was 18, it was like 13 years ago. I started working as a video editor on local television, then I switched to director of photography. I was starting to do making videos myself, and I think around a few years after I started my own video production company.
Awesome. And that's Rebel Monkey Production, correct?
That you have right but now. Before Rebel Monkey Production there was another one. Yeah, but Rebel Monkey Production my main one.
Gotcha. Awesome. And, looking into your history here, thank you, IMDb. Check out, definitely have, your body of work looks great. The awards that you've won, Falcon International Film Festival, the Bowdoin International Film Festival, just to name a couple. So definitely you've been out there and your history and your tour of doing these movies. And of course, I can never do justice on the movie side of it. So that's why I got Anthony as well here. Well, I have Anthony because he's co-host. But he's going to be able to relate a little bit more with the filming aspect and the movie aspect.
Yeah, just a little bit. But, Stan, one of the first questions that I wanted to throw out at you after looking at your body of work and everything like that is you seem to have, when it came to your credits, you started more in documentary. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've been doing documentaries a lot, but I never was into documentaries. The reason I was making them is just easier to make one because you don't need the whole crew, you don't need actors, there is you, camera, and just a story. You just need to film someone. That was the only reason I think I was working documentaries. But now I think we have everything that we can make narrative projects, more narrative projects, and Memory Card is like our first, I would say, like super professional, like real movie. Like we have like all the stuff on board. We have I wouldn't say like huge budget, but it's a good budget for the project. And we are still getting more and more investments from our own pockets at the moment. But we feel like these projects can't go viral. So we want to invest everything we have in it. I mean, not everything we have, but everything we can invest in.
Right. I was just going to say, basically all of the other pieces you guys have been doing, you know, we saw that you do some commercial work. Obviously, we talked, you know, we mentioned the documentary and all the other pieces are really kind of, you're using that to kind of channel and fund this, you know, the current film that you're on to talk about.
That's the thing, because I always was making commercial stuff just to make money so I can make movies, because it was always challenging to get funding for your projects. If I was making only movies all my life, there is a chance that I would be successful, but there is much higher chance that I would be just poor. I mean, so it's a really difficult way to get there, to become like a famous director or producer. It's like if you want to become a famous a musician, I would say the same thing.
Yeah, it's just that, and it's the endless work. It's just, you don't, you know, it's 24/7. You don't get a break. It's just no always breaks. Yeah, hard work. Is there like a specific movie that you can point to that made you decide that this is where you want, this is what you wanted to do for, with your life? Like, this was going to be your passion?
That's a very interesting question. I don't think there was a specific movie. I mean, one of the first movies that I saw that really impressed me was Evil Dead 2, which is very strange, but it was the one, I was 8 or 7 when I watched it. It really scared me. I think I was afraid of all the creature from this movie for years, but I still wanted, I was like addicted. I was scared of it, but I was addicted. I wanted to watch it again and again and again.
Well, you know what, as an avid horror movie fan, that was like the perfect answer you could have given for me.
Okay. Amazing.
Absolutely love it.
I really love Sam Raimi work. So, and
he's amazing. Movies,
yeah.
He's amazing. Right. Yeah, Spider-Man and the Evil Dead. I mean, I love those Evil Dead movies. And the fact that, you know, you said that you were 8 or so when you saw them. I think we were 8 when they came out. You know, those series, I've always said, like, those series of movies, the way Evil Dead 1, 2, and then one of the greatest movies, in my opinion, Army of Darkness, that I love. The just how the character of Ash just develops and evolves through those movies. That's awesome.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Ash development is one of my favorites. I really want to make something like this in one of my projects, where you see, first of all, you see like some scared guy, first, but then he becomes a man through the movie, like real masculine, like strong guy who, like in Evil Dead 3, he just goes all the way, like he's a totally different guy.
Now I want to go watch that movie when we're done. All right.
Yeah. Evil Dead 3 was really funny. I remember I was watching it on SG2. Yeah.
With memory card. I discovered this on Kickstarter. That's where I saw this first, obviously, probably through social media. Something came up about this movie, you know, this short movie, which I'm going to ask, you know, in a moment for you to kind of give a brief description of how it's about. And I'm like, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I have to be part of this, you know, meaning the Kickstarter part of it. In a synopsis, you know, what is Memory Card?
Oh, do you want me to describe it? Yeah, I was really glad when I saw your name on Baker list. I remember that moment. And we already have a place for your name in the movie. I already know where it's going to be. Memory Card, it's a movie about PlayStation 1. Some people get angry when I say PlayStation 1, by the way, because it's officially not PlayStation 1. It's just PlayStation. But if you try to Google PlayStation, you'll never find a PlayStation 1.
So no.
Name, yeah. So it's about PlayStation 1, about two guys who discover that there are hidden coordinates in the games, PlayStation games, that lead to a collectible memory card that cost $500,000. And our main character, he's like divorced ex-game developer who is really angry for his life because he spent all his life playing video games and he didn't achieve anything. And now he feels like this is a chance. I know everything about PlayStation 1. I need to win that that memory card.
That's awesome. Yeah, the whole the concept, like, of the coordinates and everything in the games and getting to the memory card. I was like, this is an amazing idea. And Like, where did that idea like come from? How did the movie kind of begin to become this thing, even before the Kickstarter kicked in?
Yeah, our co-director, my co-director Taras, he was a pushing force for this project, because I just told him I always had an idea to make a project that have a PlayStation 1 atmosphere, because I love just watch some old YouTube I forgot how to say it in English. Just people playing video games, so old
Oh,
PlayStation games.
play
Oh,
alongs. Like play-alongs or streamers, like those type of
yeah,
yeah.
just kind of that. And just watch some old videos, listen to soundtrack, and like there is specific atmosphere. And he also a huge fan of PlayStation 1. He grew up like playing it. It was his first game console. And yeah, he came up. He came to me with that idea. Let's make a like make a movie that there is championship and there are a bunch of guys looking for hidden coordinates. I say yeah, let's do it.
Awesome.
So
Very cool. And then well, would PlayStation 1 be your favorite console as well, or were you was it something a little bit later than that?
I
Or
think that my first console was Atari.
oh,
oh wow,
nice.
I yeah for many years for years and years I didn't know it was Atari. I just remember playing it. I didn't know it was Atari. I just discovered that later in years, seeing it somewhere on the internet. But I think the first one was Atari. I also had Sega Genesis,
Nice.
and
Genesis,
yeah,
very cool.
PlayStation. But PlayStation was the one that really impressed me. I remember first time I saw a guy playing on PlayStation Tekken 3, and I remember thinking those graphics are unreal. They're so realistic. There is no way something can be more realistic than this.
You'll never get better than that,
It'll
bro.
never.
And now look at us today.
I
Those
mean,
polygons are on point.
even now, Tekken 3 looks pretty good, I would say. I mean, yeah, I think it has one of the best graphics on PlayStation 1 games.
Cool. And then in terms of the film itself, is it a I think it's a short film, correct?
Right now it's around 25 minutes, yeah, but it's considered a short film.
Okay, great. And then where are you at now in the production of it?
We are editing the project,
Okay.
and tomorrow, no, the day after tomorrow, on Thursday, we are filming one of our final episodes, and we are planning to have a really good draft of the movie in early June so we can start submitting it to festivals. But it will also require a lot of visual effects and CGI. Because we film a lot of green screen stuff, we have a lot of moments where our main character doesn't understand where is real life and where are video games, and we will have a lot of 3D animation there.
That's awesome.
So
Right,
yeah,
that
our
sounds
company
great.
Rebel Monkey, we provide visual effects services. So I'm glad we do. It makes my life easier making this project. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to outsource the visual effects. You
Yeah,
just go,
it would
yeah.
be really difficult. Yeah, it would be really difficult to find someone a really good one. Yeah,
Yeah. Well,
I mean there are a lot of good
difficult and
artists.
expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still expensive. I still need to pay people. Yeah, like that doesn't work for
Of
me.
course.
But yeah.
How'd you find the shooting process itself? I mean, again, I've never made a film. Anthony's made a couple, which I loved. How'd you find the process going for this film? And also, and if you can't divulge, because we obviously won't give anything away or anything like that. But were there any difficulties or concerns with actual showing gameplay or anything like that? I know sometimes some movies have to get creative with showing like official stuff.
Oh yeah, that's what we are going to do, and we still don't have all the rights. We will not have them, I think, never. And so this is fan-based movie. We will not like sell it. We will not make money on it. So it's like fan-based movie. So no difficulties with like showing gameplay. We will show all of it. I think so. Yeah. What's your question like about how was
Just that,
the?
like, how was the shooting process? How's
Oh,
it going?
so. Yeah, so far I filmed, I'd say, like five narrative or six narrative projects. And this was the first time that I wasn't stressful at all. We had a
Wow,
really good
nice.
team. Like, from the first moment, first day, like, I remember morning when we started and everyone left the car. And each person on a set knew what he needs to do. Like, everyone was busy, like ants, you know? Like, that was the first time I was seeing, like, everyone be so professional. But I think that the reason was because we prepared for months. We filmed everything during 3 days, but we prepared for 3 months. I mean, to make those 3 days happen. And those were really long days. Like, we started really early and ended almost midnight.
There you
Wow.
go. That's a
Yeah,
day.
I was gonna say pre-production is king. Getting as
Yeah.
much as you can done in pre-production makes everything so much easier.
Yeah. 100% agree with you.
how was the Kickstarter process? You know, how did it go? Did you find it difficult? It looks like you had some great rewards and everything. Like I said, I jumped on that quick. I'm like, I want my name in this movie somewhere. Even they said, hey, that jerk Larry Mormon did something with this game as long as I'm in it. No.
So yeah, Kickstarter process, I would say it's very complicated. It's not that easy. And a few times we said that thing, like, it might be even easier for us, like, to make a few commercials to make those monies and to run a Kickstarter campaign, to be honest with you. Like, that's, but Kickstarter is more important, not about money, just to start making this kind of community people know about us. That was the main reason why we started the campaign, not just to make money, because we put together $5,000, but so far we spent around 12. So, and we are planning to spend at least 5. So yeah, Kickstarter is just a part of everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. But you know what? Every little bit helps get you there, right?
Yeah, everything helps. I'm really glad that we have all these people that help us. And to be honest, we are planning to start another campaign. But this time we have different kind of rewards because movie is like in post-production stage.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I think it will be more interesting because we will have a trailer ready so we can show to the people what we have. What we will actually release.
That's great.
So next campaign we'll have a trailer, and I think we will release it in early June.
Okay.
We'll need that campaign to cover all the visual effects expenses and film festival submissions.
Fair
yeah, film
enough.
festival submissions are crazy because yeah, do you know how much they cost?
I don't. Ant might.
It depends.
It depends. Yeah, some of them are $20. Some of them can go up to $100, $150.
Yeah.
And yeah, they can still say, you know, so you can submit like your movie to 10 festivals, like spend $500 total, and you can hear no from everyone. So you need a budget for film festival submissions.
Yeah. I always love the rejections when I get them.
Really?
I was like, but wait, I paid you.
Sorry, Anthony, can I start asking questions too?
Of course.
I'm just curious about your filmmaking background.
There isn't a whole lot to my filmmaking background, but I actually had lived in LA for about 15 years. I'm in New York now. I kind of bounced around different film companies, but not specifically working in production. I've worked in different departments of marketing and things like that. But I was filming. I was just doing some films on the side. So I've done a few. I did a web series. I've done a couple of shorts. Essentially, my focus is writing. Screenwriting has been what I've been doing my entire life.
As long as I've known him, again, since high school, he's always been writing, and it's definitely that's what's in him, and that's what I love to see him do.
Yeah. Cool. So I started writing and, you know, I wrote in prose in the beginning, but then I switched over to screenwriting when I went to college and I got my degree, you know, in film and focused on screenwriting, even, you know, going through my degrees. So when I'm not doing when I'm not playing video games or doing my day job, I'm writing. That's
my thing. Is it your like full-time job you do, or you write?
Yeah, no, I have a full-time job. I do not write for my full-time job. I work in theme parks, which is completely different. But it's just right now it's just something I do on the side, and every once in a while when the stars align, I put a project together and try and get it running.
That sounds like my life too. Like once a year, I'm trying to make one project, one or two projects.
Yeah, because you got to earn a living, right?
Yeah, you need to, like, yeah, have family, all the stuff, like mortgage.
Yeah. Life, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
all the life stuff gets in the way.
Yeah.
Stupid bills.
Yeah. Stupid bills. Yeah. What kind of movies do you write?
I'm kind of eclectic. So I've written everything from horror to Hallmark. So
make a Hallmark horror movie and we'll see what happens. Tell me.
I would love to, but they wouldn't accept it. So
I always wanted to make a comedy. I never made a comedy. But
comedies are the toughest ones.
It's a tough genre. Sorry, I think that's the reason why we don't have that many good comedies today. It's a really tough genre.
It's a very tough genre. It's one of the ones, at least from a feature aspect, That's the one that I think is hardest to crack for me. I've actually written a couple of sitcoms though. So short form comedy, I feel like I'm more comfortable with. But if you ask me to write a comedic movie, that's a tougher ask.
Gotcha. So yeah, one of my favorite comedy directors is Judd Apatow, and
Oh.
I'm not sure if you read his comedy script, you will like laugh. I'm not sure if like comedy scripts are funny to read.
Yeah, I've never actually read scripts. Yeah, I don't know.
I've read my fair share of scripts, and I've read one or two comedies. I'm trying to think back to the ones I did read. But I agree with you. It all depends on it really does come down to the talent that you hire and it and how they deliver it.
Yeah, it's about
Because
delivery, yeah.
yeah, it will not jump off the page without the right actors.
True.
The only script I literally have is a copy of the Kenny Rogers Roaster episode of Seinfeld that I got signed by Jay Peterman himself, forgetting that he's only in the episode for like the last 15 seconds. But I saw him at a convention. I'm like, I got to pick this up. So I'm like,
Nice.
this is what a script looks like, besides the ones I had in high school during drama.
I want to switch gears a little bit with you, Stan, and get to actual video games, because
Ah.
you talked a little bit about your background with Atari, but I want to put you on the spot and ask you, what is your favorite video game? Like, if you had to pick one, what's the one that stands out to you
Oh,
the
favorite
most?
video game.
Yeah. Is there one specific that you can?
I think the ones that I played through the most of the times is GTA Vice City. But
Ooh,
I'm not sure
GTA.
if it's, yeah, I'm not sure if Vice City is my favorite game. It might be. I played it
Okay.
so many times, like I know every corner of that game.
That
Nice.
was a good one. That was a very good one. That whole series, that GTA 3, San Andreas, Vice City, that was perfect.
I always also was a fan of Warcraft 3.
Oh,
Oh,
Warcraft. Okay.
Warcraft, yeah, and the one is the famous game Stalker. It's Ukrainian game. It's one of my favorites too.
Okay.
Okay, and if you
Yeah.
know Frostpunk, it's like modern strategy. It's
Oh.
a new game, and Banner Saga.
Okay, Frostpunk I'm not familiar with, but I've had friends who lost years of their life in Warcraft.
Oh my
So, oh
gosh, yeah, World of Warcraft probably. that's yeah, more World of Warcraft.
Oh
Only
yeah, I never
reason.
liked this one. Funny,
No.
because I was a huge fan of Warcraft, but never liked World of Warcraft. So
The only
yeah,
reason why I
I
bought another
spent
Mac.
years of my life, I spent a year of my life in Dota, by the way, playing Dota.
Oh, okay.
Oh wow,
A lot of
okay.
people play that. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's very addictive.
Yeah, no,
Well,
Warcraft.
it's a good thing you woke up and broke out of it.
Someone's like, get an iMac. It's gonna be perfect for gaming. You're gonna love it. I bought it actually, and our friend Jonathan. He's like, you're gonna love it. I bought an iMac, and I'm like, played maybe 15 minutes of World of Warcraft. I'm like, I can't dedicate this much time. I'm having trouble with my own life, let alone having a secondary life in Warcraft. I tried EverQuest. I should have learned my lesson. Since memory card is about PlayStation, like, do you still, even not to do with the project, but do you find yourself going back, playing maybe original PS1 games and any that still stick out besides even GTA? Well, that wasn't on PS1, Vice City, that is. But anything that still sticks out to you as just these ultimate classics for the PlayStation.
Yeah, right before we started working on this movie, I bought PlayStation Classic. I
Oh,
see
okay.
one on your wall right now.
The little guy.
Yeah,
Yes. Yep.
little one.
Yep. And
So
I'm telling you, it's worth every penny. I'm telling you.
I put it into my TV on maybe HDMI. I downloaded a lot of extra games. I found a few hacks on YouTube where you can put them on a flash
Oh
card, because
yeah.
original classic have just like 20 games, and most of them are not the best games it has.
Yeah, it was a weird collection that they went
Weird
with
collection. I'm not
for
sure if
that.
it's
Yeah.
legal to speak
No.
about that here, but
Yeah, it's all right. We don't
we'll
mind.
see.
Well, it was that, yeah, and for that it was the whole licensing rights deal. Like that, the best game to me, some of the best games on the PlayStation are just not, they're not first party games. So that, yeah, that's why they didn't show up on there.
But later I decided to buy like a real PlayStation 1
Okay.
and old
Nice.
TV, and I realized it's a totally different experience when you play a real original console.
Oh
It's
yeah.
much on like on an old TV, and it's all this kind of
Wow.
sounds when you put CD inside of the tray. It's like a different experience.
You went
You
all in on an old school television
you
as
need
well.
to do
Okay.
all in to get
You
all the
do. Look at that.
So
Wow.
yeah,
This.
I have right now like PlayStation Classic, but I have two PlayStation 1. I have two of
Nice.
them just in case. I bought two for a movie in case we do something with one of them, if
Okay.
something happens. Yeah, and I recently, a few days ago, I bought a PSP on eBay.
Ooh. Oh,
And
nice.
for all those years, I didn't know I can play PlayStation 1 games on PSP.
There's a lot of
Yep.
PS1 games that were available. I regret getting rid of my P. I sold back my PSP figuring I'm done with it. That was the biggest regret I ever made. Yeah, PSP has some great gems on it.
I was just playing it recently, and it feels like this console. I never had PSP before, so right now playing PSP, it feels like this console was ahead of its time, way ahead of its time.
I would
So,
say that. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that console also had they had dedicated movies come out on those UMDs. I remember buying
I
movies.
saw, yeah, I saw a video on YouTube about a guy reviewing all this kind of movies. It's like it's very difficult to find them now, I think.
Oh yeah, no, they're tough now. But also being able to hook up the PSP. Like I remember going, like if I visit my parents and I think I forgot what movie it was. It might have been Zombieland was one of the first ones where I was able to hook the PSP to the television and I'm like, Dad, check out this technology. It's never going to get any better. You thought polygons were good? Nope. This is going to be awesome. And then hook it up and having that ability to travel, and then the next step becoming digital movies. And we're always going back and forth here between with me and Ann between physical and digital media, but that's a whole nother story for a whole nother time. But yeah.
So, was the battery good enough for you to watch the whole movie on it?
I would have it plug. I bought everything. I go all in. I bought the AC adapter, the television adapter. I made sure. But like on a plane, yeah, the battery wasn't too bad just watching it on its own. I
Oh,
definitely
I
had a
agree.
few. So first, it was the first media and the first way I ever watched. People are gonna kill me for this. Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
What?
I never saw Pulp Fiction before in its entirety until the PSP.
And you watch it on that tiny little screen?
I
That's a
you
fu
don't see.
funny way to watch Pulp Fiction. And that's the best way. Yeah, I saw it on my PSP.
No. No. Well, this is Larry and I disagree on a lot of things.
It's
That
what
one will be unforgivable.
keeps our friendship going.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right. So we're gonna start kind of bringing everything up speed here. And just one final thing to mention. I always love telling this story about memory cards with the PlayStation 1. I feel like more people probably bought third-party memory cards than actual Sony first-party memory cards. One of my favorite. Oh, where is it? Here it is. When I bought this gem, the PlayStation. Oh my gosh, what do they call it? I forgot what they call it. The PlayStation Pocket.
Wow,
Which
what is
was
that? I don't
so
know what this is.
it
Is
was a
it
memory. Do you know the familiar with the Dreamcast?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I do.
Okay, and their VMUs, their memory cards had a little screen on it.
I remember they have screens everywhere, even
Yeah.
on their joystick.
So this was PlayStation's version. I'm pretty sure it only came out in Japan, and we might have got a quick run here in the US. So it's a standard memory card that goes right into the memory card slot, and very, very few games, though, would be able to download onto it. My battery's not working on this. And you can play like little mini games on this separately. So
Oh,
it was,
really? On the
yeah.
go?
Yeah, on the go. I
Yep.
mean, very tiny games. It might even had like a slot
It's
machine
something
game
like
built in.
Tamagotchi or
Kind of, sort of. Sometimes it might be something like that. I don't remember the games off the top of my head, but this is one of my favorite memory cards that I've
that's fun.
recently collected.
That's a fun thing. I never heard about it.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then of course the only memory card I had growing up was one that this giant one that plugged into the back of the PlayStation, and it mimicked like 35 memory cards. Never would have to use a memory card, physical memory card again based on this thing. And it also let me play copied games, which for a college kid with no money worked out pretty well for a little while, but we don't condone that nowadays.
Okay, that's cool. No, we don't.
So,
I
my
didn't know all
gosh.
of those technologies existed during this.
Oh, they
Oh,
neither did
that
I
they
back
did
then.
back then. Yeah, they
Yeah.
did. People always find a way to hack something or create some type of shortcut.
I think I was about 9 when I was playing PlayStation 1, so I never heard about all of this stuff.
Yes.
Again,
You were yeah, we were in college at that point.
as a broke college kid, I needed some of those games. But PlayStation, it was the first game, it was the first system I bought used, and I bought it in college. I didn't buy it brand new, and I regret never buying it earlier. So I'm very happy with my PS1 now. So very, very cool stuff. Stan, we don't want to take up too much more of your time. Thank you very much for being on the show here.
Yeah, thank you. This was great.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And
Yeah, and
yeah.
No, I was just going to say, just for everybody listening and watching, like, you know, if you just want to let them know where they can find you and where they can find information on Memory Card and all of your other work.
Oh yeah, you can go straight to our website, memorycardmovie.com. That's our website. If you can put a link in bio, I would be really thankful. Or
Absolutely.
subscribe to our Instagram. You can find it on our website. All the information is on our website, so it's the first thing I prefer people to go.
Definitely. No, we'll have
All
all the
right,
links
great.
in the descriptions. And again, we it's an honor to have you on the show, and we
Yeah.
really appreciate it. And like I said, when I saw, I told Anthony about this when I first saw the project. I'm like, Ant, this we got to keep an eye on this. This looks awesome. And I'm happy that we, you know, I can't wait to see the finished product. So,
Thank you guys. Thank you for
yeah,
supporting
same
our
here.
project.
Same here. Absolutely, always. All right. Special thank you to Stanislav Pujariac for joining us on our show. It was an excellent interview. We had a great time, and we're really looking forward to seeing Memory Card, the movie.
Cannot
So
wait.
it's going to be really cool. But
Awesome.
while we wait, it's time for us to jump into some retro news.
And
We
with
only got a we only have a couple of things that we're going to be talking about today.
literally two,
Yeah,
literally two.
literally two.
Yes. So the first thing we're going to mention is it is that time of year. We have now the inductees for the 2024 World Video Game Hall of Fame outside there, the Strong Museum. How far are you from the Strong Museum again? Rochester?
Rochester is, I think it's either 2 or 4 hours. I
Oh,
can't
that would
remember
all right,
which
that would
one.
not have worked then this past weekend.
Well,
Okay.
actually, no, not, it can't be 4 hours. It's probably, it's 2 or 3. You know what? I'll find out soon and
It
I
was
will let you know.
far enough that we weren't doing it last week.
Yeah, we were definitely not doing it last
Fair
week, but it's possible that we'll do it next time you come visit.
enough. All right, the five, one, two, three, four, five games
Oh,
now
five. All
part of
right.
history. And we're just gonna, here we go. It's first on the PC, actually a couple PC games. Ultima.
Oh, Ultima got in. Nice.
And the Susan Lucci of the Video Game Hall of Fame inductees missed finally in there. So
Hey,
good
welcome,
for it.
Mist.
And you bought all those missed games last week too. So
I
there you
did.
go.
You know what? I ha that that's what tipped it over.
It was kismet.
Yeah, that's what it was. That tipped the scale.
SimCity is in there.
Excellent. That one felt like it belonged.
It did.
It did. It definitely belonged.
Another one that's long overdue, Asteroids.
Finally.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know how that wasn't in previously. I really don't.
It's
That
weird.
boggles my mind.
And finally, Resident Evil.
Ah, Resident Evil. Of
Yes.
course. Of course. Of course. Actually, to be honest with you, I would love to go back and hear which ones we picked to go in because I think we were pretty close.
I think so. It's funny. I don't remember now the
Yep.
inductees. But never. Yeah, we can go back. We can double check
Yeah.
that. So, but nevertheless, there you go. Your five new inductees for the 2024 World Video Game Hall of Fame.
Very
So,
nice.
congratulations.
Congratulations
And
to those games. It makes me want to go and play a couple of them right now.
I really am interested in Asteroids now, and I want to
Yep.
play SimCity and just put in that code to get 999,900.
Ah, SimCity, the perfect game to cheat at.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
And finally, the other piece of news that we're going to talk about is basically news that was gift wrapped to us by Nintendo to
Yes, it was.
announced the Nintendo World Championships NES Edition
Yes.
for the Switch.
Okay. I am really excited about this because it's owning a piece of my childhood that I can never own before because, you know, unless you had one of those rare cartridges, you didn't have this thing.
No, this was
No.
wild. It's being released July 18th on Switch, of course, and only
Excellent.
Switch. Both digital and physical copy. We'll talk about the physical copy in
I
a
know what I'm getting.
moment. I got news for you. I was kind of debating which version I was going to go
You
with.
were, and I was very surprised to hear you say that. Because,
I almost was, and then I'm like, you know what? I have no room for any of that. But nevertheless,
oh, sad to hear
Nintendo World Championships NES Edition, and I don't know why it's driving me nuts, but I see a lot of people online comparing it. But it's a lot of people saying it's the NES Remix for the Switch, but
Oh, it's not.
it's not, because NES Remix, which were amazing on the
Yep.
Wii U and the
Yes, they were.
3DS,
I want more of those, though. I do want
because
more of those.
they tinkered with the gameplay. Like they
Yes.
merged games, they mixed
Yep.
games. Here, it's just straight up get to the mushroom as quickly as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Defeat the, you know, the first dragon in Legend of Zelda as quickly as possible. Stuff like that. Over 150 challenges,
Oh, wow.
Spanning over 13 classic NES games.
That's really cool.
Here are the 13 NES games just real fast. Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3, and Lost Levels.
Ooh,
Legend of Zelda 1 and Zelda 2.
okay.
Metroid. Donkey Kong. The Terrible Balloon Fight.
Ah.
Excitebike. Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, and Kirby's Adventure.
Okay. My question is, because it sounds awesome, and it does sound like they're just doing the remix game
In
under this title. That's
almost,
that
but we'll
it's
get there.
almost. Does it have the actual original setup from the Nintendo World Championship in 1990? Because I would love to do that where it was like, well, actually, it doesn't, because you did not say
No.
Tetris. You
No,
did
no,
not
no.
say Tetris.
Yeah, so it's not, how can I put
It's
it's
just under it's under the name of, but
because it's
it's
a
not that.
competition. That's why.
Yes.
Here's why. Because like the real one, which is all, you had to get what 100 coins, and then it was something in Tetris, the highest score, Rad Racer, get through the first stage.
Yeah, get through the first stage, and then you just played Tetris for the rest of the time.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, the reason why it's not like NES Remix, because nothing, as far as I know, is like there's no weird merging of games. These are just straight, whatever the challenge is, do it as quickly as possible. Up to 8 players local on one
Nice.
system can
Nice.
compete against each other.
That's really cool.
There will be online ranking as well with these
Ooh.
challenges. And the more you play, you unlock coins that will unlock more challenges as you move on. So that's why when they say it's like NES Remix, it's not. This is like the NES competition.
Got
And
it.
if you store the trailer for this, great, great trailer. Basically, they brought in some of the competitors from the. There's only been three NES competitions.
Correct. I've
Nine.
been to two of them.
You went to two of them?
I think so.
We both went to one, not knowing we didn't know each other back then. But
No.
we both went to the New York one at the Jacob Javits Center.
We went to the New York one in 1990.
I chickened out and did not play.
I played twice.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, I played twice and I did not make it to the stage.
A young
Unfortunately.
Larry at that age, who would have been 10 at that point,
Yeah.
was a big scaredy cat, and I did not want.
I
I
was not.
buckled.
I kept yelling at my dad. I was like, I want to play again. He's like, no. Because
I
you had to pay for each entry.
it was a ticket. It was a separate ticket. I remember my
Yeah.
parents bought the ticket
Yeah.
and I didn't play.
Aw.
I cracked on the pressure like I usually did back then.
Aw. Poor Larry.
So you can challenge your friends, you can challenge yourself. So you can there's a re the replay value is tremendous in this.
Very cool.
And what's amazing about this, though, I will admit, is the physical copy. Because the physical copy comes with, some cards, comes with the physical game, but it comes with a replica of a gold NES cartridge,
Ooh, okay.
which I think is really
Yep.
cool.
Yep, must buy. That's a must buy for me.
Like I was starting to say, though, the trailer, though, is fun to watch because it was 1990 and then it was 2015 and 2017, I believe. So
Correct.
what they did was they pretty much brought a few of the competitors and the two winners back onto the trailer to talk about the game. And I'll throw it out there, spoiler alert, at the everyone ends up in a living room playing the game against each other, having fun. Then all of a sudden this much older guy walks in, a little bald, and goes, what are you guys playing? And they're all like, who's that guy? And it was the 1990
It was a 1990
champion,
guy.
which I thought was
Nice.
very cool how they did that.
That's really cool. Yeah. So, and I just to bring it back, I attended the one in 1990. I do not remember if it was 2015 or 2017, but I randomly found out about the one of those two because I was in Los Angeles at the time, and I drove down to it just to check it out for the show. And I talked about it on the show. I think it was 2017 because I
I
have a
think I'm starting to
poster.
vaguely remember this.
Yeah, because I have a poster of Mario Kart 7
Yes.
with the
Okay.
Nintendo World Championship logo on it,
Yes.
which I don't have out right now, but I do have it in a frame somewhere.
Okay.
So, and that's when I first played. I did play Mario Kart 7 for the first time ever because it was on a, it was on the 3DS.
3DS, excuse me. 3DS,
yeah, it was on the 3DS, and I did not do well. But I also played the Metroid game that they were working on at the time for the 3DS that I don't remember if it ever came out.
No, that became Dread.
That became Dread. So that I played Dread.
Look at you.
When it was a different Metroid game.
Good for you.
Yep. So so yeah, so there were two.
Awesome. Yeah, the special edition, like I said, the physical, oh, I'm sorry, the physical edition also comes with 5 pins, which look very much like the 5 pins I think we picked up on the way out.
Nice.
And the only thing that annoys me is that on the cover is this gorgeous little like gold trophy as the logo, but it does not come in the set.
Okay.
Now here's the kicker though. That's the NES edition. The Famicom edition, that might be the one to go for, the physical copy. Because the physical copy comes with 5 pins.
Yep.
Comes with the physical cart.
Yep.
Comes with like I don't know the numbers, but like replica box art for NES and the replica box art for the Famicom disc system games.
Ooh. Okay.
And Japan, you're getting the good stuff. This set will come with a pair of the Famicom Nintendo controllers.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to have to buy both. Where are you going?
These bad boys.
Oh, yeah. I might have to buy both.
So
that's going to happen.
That might happen. Cool.
For the first time ever, I might buy two.
No, I would totally get both if I didn't already have both controllers. Though, you got to be kind of, no. You can buy this. You should be able to buy this set anywhere, you know, from a Japanese store. Normally, you have to be like in Japan to order these controllers from Nintendo. Because I had to buy these.
Well, guess who's going to Japan this year?
That is true. Very cool. So, and the NES games will use the NES Switch controllers if you have a pair. So just letting you know.
That's awesome.
This thing looks amazing. July 18th. I've already got my digital pre-ordered, so I'm all good to go.
Physical all the way.
Very cool. And with that, let's wrap it up. Let's get this done. And where can they find us?
You guys can find us on Facebook.com/RetroGamersPodcast, on Instagram at RetroGamersPodcast, on Twitter at RetroGamersPod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube and Spotify at RetroGamersPodcast, or you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
I did not correct you on X because I was just staring at the special edition Famicom.
I know. I was waiting. I actually paused for a moment.
I know. Sometimes I'm doing other things. I'm multitasking.
You did not correct me. Shame on you.
That's all right. Elon Musk will get you.
Yes, he will. He'll get all of us.
And with that, Ant, have a wonderful week.
You have a great week as well.
And we'll catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.